You're listening to SBS News.
It's a weekday afternoon at Sydney's Martin Place train station. There's a handful of people on both platforms. Outside, lunchtime crowds move about near Castlereagh Street, which sits at the heart of Sydney's central business district. Walk a little further and you hit one of the city's many small food courts. This one's about 80% full with office and construction workers.
And a lot of the customers that I do come across, work from home because it just suits them, because they don't want to do the travelling anymore. That's what it really comes down to.
Kathy runs Cafe Roma in the food court, home to about 20 different eateries. Like many small hospitality businesses, especially in the CBD, her cafe has been hit hard by the pandemic. She says that's because many of her regular customers are only in the office part-time due to COVID.
So us businesses in the city, or, you know, especially in the city, because I know the suburbans are thriving, we're suffering now. And, you know, we can't run our businesses on 3 days out of the week because we're 5-day shops. So, you know, we depend on the 5 days to make ends meet. It has improved, but it's not where it was.
Two Australian academics have taken a closer look at data from Google's community mobility reports to try and get some idea of how COVID has affected visitor numbers to Australia's CBDs. The report measured foot traffic, that is, visitor numbers to CBD retail and recreation places, between February and October 2020. Professor Gary Mortimer is from the Queensland University of Technology's School of Business and one of the academics who analysed the data.
Melbourne, Victoria particularly, had been in lockdown for a long period of time. Their foot traffic, so this is measuring people going into the CBD areas, had declined to almost 84% below the norm. Sydney didn't fare that much better either. It's consistently been at about 40% down. I think the big thing we noticed that is even in those CBD areas like Brisbane and Hobart, Adelaide and Perth, cities where there was really very small, if not any, community transmissions, those CBD areas still had not returned to, pre-COVID levels. Brisbane being the best, and it was still about 9% down on the norm.
Professor Mortimer says people are still not commuting from middle and outer suburbs for work or education.
In many capital cities, we have very large university campuses as well, like QUTs here in the middle of Brisbane City. As COVID hit and as we moved to, working from home, telecommuting, e-commuting, and even online lectures and online tutorials, we found a significant decline in student traffic, but also commuter traffic, people going into the office. And that was, despite the fact we've had no transmissions, community transmissions of COVID in many capital cities now for several weeks. People are still remaining to work from home, possibly going into the office maybe a couple times a week.
But just because people can work from home doesn't mean everyone wants to all of the time. Nick is a barrister who has worked from home for much of the year before returning to his office near Martin Place 2 months ago. Enjoying lunch in the food court, he thinks Sydney CBD is slowly finding its energy again.
It's good to get out of home and come in. It gives some structure to the day. I prefer it, I think, to working from home every day. Certainly, I found working at home could be oppressive if I just wasn't leaving the house very much. Other than that, it's good to see Sydney returning to normal. Hopefully, it'll stay this way. There was definitely a period in the middle of the year and earlier when it was totally dead. It's no longer dead. That's consistent with my experience of Sydney generally, I think. It's picking up. More people are coming to work. More people are going out at night.
But Patrick, who worked at home full-time until a couple of weeks ago, says the city is not what it used to be.
The city's dead, honestly. I don't know whether that's as a result of COVID or the track work. George Street was the centre and it had a character. Now it's just completely devoid of all character. There's no people. It's like just all you see is leaves blowing through. I don't like walking through there anymore. You miss the $1 shops that they used to have. everything like that is gone. And I don't know whether that's purposely or not.
Paul Magan is a professor of urban and regional planning at the University of Western Australia and also helped analyse the Google Mobility Reports. He says border closures have also had a major impact on CBD foot traffic.
Tourist footfall, basically international tourists. So if you think about places like Sydney and Melbourne, no international flights, and those two cities in particular rely very heavily on international tourists. And then on top of that, this year has been a particularly bad year for international students coming to Australia, so our numbers are way down on that front. And those different consumers, if you want to kind of look at them like that, there aren't basically in the cities, in the CBD.
CBD retail has also taken a hit from COVID. Australia Post data found that between March and June this year, around 800,000 new households shopped online for the very first time. The move to online shopping and the emergence of big suburban malls means the CBD retail sector was already shifting prior to COVID. Professor Paul Magan says some sectors are doing it harder than others.
Particular areas of retail which are, I think, facing the biggest challenges. So fashion, footwear and apparel, you know, is probably the biggest market where online retailers are kind of really surging ahead.
Along with tourists and students, homeless people are often drawn to CBDs. That's mainly because support services such as food vans tend to be concentrated there. Sophia is in her 60s and has been homeless for 2 years. She feels safe in the CBD, often taking refuge among the city's crowds and public transport system.
I travel back and forth in the train. And sometimes I get hostels. So it's been very hard to get into a hostel even.
And when you can't get to a hostel, where do you sleep?
In the train. There's a lot of us. A lot of people, good people.
COVID offered a peculiar respite of sorts from the daily grind of having to find a place to sleep. During the height of the pandemic in Australia, rough sleepers were put up in hotels for months at a time, funded by the government in an attempt to quell the spread of the coronavirus among this vulnerable group.
I was in a hotel room for 3 months. So they gave a lot of people 2-3 months in a thing, but then they got everybody out because they expected you to find a place. And it's so hard to find a place to your budget. It's not always you can live in those places that you find.
Coffee shop owner Kathy questions the long-term effects of working from home, not just on the CBD economy, but also on the mental health of workers.
We can't lock ourselves 7 days out of the week, work from home 24 hours a day. It's going to affect us mentally, like not, you know, for those who don't leave their house. There's going to be social aspects of it where they're not going to even know how to talk to people face-to-face because everything's going to be done through computers. I mean, as human beings, we're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to be locked down. We're supposed to interact with other people, interact, you know, with our work. How is that normal? That's not normal.
The health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.